A longtime NHLer, a longtime Vancouver Canuck, Yannick Hansen, joins us every Tuesday at 2 o'clock here on Sportsnet Today. Yannick, how are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing fantastic. Finally, we have some preseason games to talk about. The real stuff. We finally get underway. But I did want to ask you, because we kind of mentioned this with Ken Priestley when he joined us, and you know, we're all waiting here with Pettersson and Hughes waiting to come to arrive to Vancouver. How many games did you feel like you needed in preseason to say you were ready for the regular season? How many days should Canucks fans be looking at and say, this is when they have to sign by?
I'd say they have another handful of days here. If they have, if they get it done within, at the end of this week, I'd say they have enough time to get some skates in, get them into to a game or two towards the end of the preseason schedule, and then they're ready to go. After that, they won't have time to get up to gear. They might be in the lineup for game one, but they won't be at 100%. And obviously, the longer it goes, the more time they'll need. So say they sign right around the beginning of the season. You won't see them for a little bit there. Yeah, they might stretch them in and, okay, we're not winning, let's put them in. But they won't be ready. So I'd say you got about a handful of games now or days before you got to get you got to get them signed, or you're hitting another pressure point here in the negotiation. Obviously, another pressure point is a little more fluent, depending on how the team does. Team's winning, team's sitting back saying, okay, well, team is doing well. You guys want to come back. But again, it goes the other way. I know they have a long road trip to begin with, I think 6 games out in the East and stuff like that. That's one that's going to be looked at as well. How are they going to do? Are they starting to lose some games here? That's gonna put some pressure on Jim if they do.
Yeah, I mean, Travis Green even said he was disappointed that some key players are still absent. And it's not even just the physical standpoint, it's also the structural standpoint of not having these guys around, because they won't be able to be game ready, and the changes to the game, they won't be up to date with.
No, and that goes back to, I don't know what they're implementing this year versus in the past, but just from my own experience, was we had Willie Desjardins for a number of years. And when we had the World Cup of Hockey, we were, I want to say, 7 or 8 players maybe that went there. And they were implementing something new in training camp. And we weren't privy to that until we got back. So, like, you were kind of on the back foot a little bit. Okay, now we're all of a sudden, we're forechecking. We're backchecking a little bit different. I have a different responsibility. So even though you have the same coaching staff, if they're implementing a little bit of a change in how you're supposed to play, you can't just rely on your, the common sense in the back of your mind, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. No, you're all of a sudden, you're thinking the game a little bit too much and it doesn't come to you. And that's when guys are a step behind.
Not only that, but as well, from player to player and teammate, chemistry must play a big factor as well when you have these guys coming in later on.
Yeah, well, hopefully for Petey, he'll jump in on his line. I mean, they've been playing really well together, and it seems like they've kind of rounded out the top 6 now, that you don't have to be doing too much guessing. But who's going to be playing with Quinn Hughes? That's definitely up in the air. He's going to need a new D partner probably for the 3rd year in a row now. You'd like to see him develop some sort of chemistry. Those two guys, whoever it's going to be, are going to be eating up a lot of minutes. They need to know each other, and it's not something you learn off of one day and a lunch or breakfast down at the rink. No, it takes time. That's why these camps are so important. On one side, we say, yeah, okay, preseason games don't matter. No, result don't matter, but experience and getting a feel for each other does. So it is. It's definitely not good that they're not signed right now. That's putting it mildly.
Yannick Hansen joining us. So just on that chemistry then, you know, when you look at Pettersson, is it easier for him to jump in just because we would expect him to, you know, step right in and he gets Besser and Miller hopefully on his wing?
Yeah, I think so. And also the D's, The tough part of playing D is if pucks getting put in your corners in your end, you're playing with your back to the play, and you got to go back. Where's my D partner? Where's he gonna go? Can I just throw it blind? Is he gonna cover me? All these little things, the trust. It's always harder in your own end in the beginning, and that's where again Petey will have familiarity with the players that he's hopefully going to be playing with, or whoever they're playing him with. Where, like I said, Quinn's going to see four or five new defense partners when he shows up in the dressing room from last year. So it's it's going to be a little bit of a change of scenery for him. So again, you'd like him to come back as quick as possible. That being said, you don't want him coming back at any cost either. They need to be mindful of the dollars they spend here. Besser's coming up, Bo is coming up. Vasily is coming up in a couple of years, depending on how he plays. Höglander, they need to be able to show these players that you can't just demand and demand and demand. Like, we want to build something here, so we got to find some a little bit of give here. You guys say you want to win, show us that too. Take a little bit less, so a couple of years down the line, maybe we don't have to let a player of Toffoli's stature go. Because we have a little bit extra to do because everybody pitched in and took a little bit less. I know it's easier said than done when you're in the middle of a negotiation, but these guys are going to be making a ton of money. They have 10, 12, 15 years ahead of them. So hopefully somebody can talk a little bit of reason into them and betterment of the team. A lot of friends, they have a chance to be together for a long, long time. And I was part of something like that, where we were together for a long time, and it is more fun. And if everybody goes in and say, no, I want what's owed to me, max dollars possible, you're going to see a Toronto situation where you're going to be paying four guys half your salary cap, and then, well, we just have to find somebody to play with you then. So it's a tough, and I see both sides of it, but from a purely fan perspective, like I hope they find some reason in themselves and see, okay, we have an opportunity here, we have a tremendous young core, let's see if we can keep us together.
Another big storyline that's looming over this team is obviously the potential absence of Travis Hamonic this season, and obviously he plays a crucial part as a top four defenseman and as Quinn Hughes's D partner. And just trying to figure out who would fill that role, would you say that the right-sided defenseman's pretty much one of the harder positions to fill in the league, in the sport?
It goes without saying, because there aren't that many right-handed defensemen, and then there aren't many left-handed defensemen who can play the right side to a T. They all want to be on their strong side, if you will, passing on their forehand and all these things. So it is very hard to come by. And again, he was one of those guys. He has been a very good defenseman in this league for a long time when he can stay healthy. Obviously, there's something else going on. You hope for the best for the guy. It's a guy I'd love to see back here. He fills a lot of criteria. He's hard to play against. He can be physical. He can fight when needed be. And he doesn't need to be putting up a ton of points because there's other guys to do that. So again, he's one of those guys you definitely don't want to see them lose the day before the season is supposed to start.
What skills are required to switch sides like that for left-sided D-man to go to right side? What are things that stand out for you? Because I'm just trying to think of players on this team right now. You know, we've seen it, Nate Schmidt and Jordy Benn try to do it. Is it mobility thing? Is it how you read the game? Because Jack Rathbone has been so impressive so far in preseason. I'm curious if this is a guy that maybe can flip to the other side just to remedy the situation.
Yeah, so defensemen don't like getting their pass on their backhand, getting the puck. Like, it kind of blows up on them. So I'd say skill is the biggest thing. Can they handle a puck on their backhand? And again, as a forward, when you play on your offside, if you bobble a puck, it's not that big of a deal. It's going forward. There's guys behind you. But if you're the last line of defense and you're getting a grenade thrown on your backhand, you're not handling, and it's going back the other way, it's a breakaway or two on one. So it's comfort. It's how the puck is getting rimmed in the offensive zone. You have your stick out, so it's easy to get. the offensive zone opens up as well. You can kind of have your feet outside the blue line. There's lots of little things, but biggest thing is how comfortable you are playing your forehand and your backhand. And obviously, it goes without saying, it's a lot harder to play your backhand passing anything you want to do. So it is a skill set, and again, it's not a skill set that many defensemen are taught, I think. So it goes back to there aren't just that many right-handed defensemen. That's why it's so hard to fill it.
We are speaking to Yannick Hansen, former Canuck, here on Sportsnet today on Sportsnet 650. Another question I want to pose for you is the centerman position. Now, obviously last season we saw a glimpse of Miller filling in for when Petey was out, and he did a really good job doing so. And the area of concern was the wing depth last season. How do we keep Miller in the center when we lack the wing depth? But now we have options. So do you like seeing them all split up and seeing JT Miller in center?
No, I prefer Petey Bowe and Jason Dickinson, obviously Sutter, when he comes back healthy. If those are your four centers, I think you're lining pretty well up against just about any team out there right now. There might be one or two teams that are a little deeper than you, but you have all the things. You have your skilled offensive centers. You have your defensive zone draws. You have your PKers. You can theoretically have two face-off mans on almost every single defensive zone draws, if you will. So I'd prefer to keep those four in the middle. Let JT fill a wing spot and push everybody down in their position. Right now, if he has to jump in the middle before Petey comes back, all of a sudden Höglander or Vasily would be tasked to maybe fill in for a top six winger. And by them doing so, you pull them out of a third line where they'd probably be more comfortable. And again, you got to find somebody on the fourth line to move up again. So everybody gets asked to play out of position a little bit, played a little bit above their weight class. So it's better to keep guys where they are comfortable, where they're a little bit above water, if you will. The ice will tilt your way if that happens. So again, I wouldn't want to drag JT into the middle again, except if it's out of pure necessity. I prefer the depth that we have right now at center. Granted, Petey comes back. So it's one of those things. It's nice to have in case of injuries or a game here and there, but not something I want to see for 10, 15, 20 games on stretches.
Yannick Hansen joining Sportsnet today. Bick Nazar and Alina Satagian here with you till 3 o'clock. It's only been a couple of one preseason game actually, but that Canucks fans have seen Connor Garland. He played last night, scores a goal, but you kind of immediately see just how he can be effective because he's so quick and his turns are so tight, and when he turns away from defenders, it's not that he's protecting the puck. It's just he also finds himself in very advantageous spaces to try to create something. What have you noticed so far from Connor Garland?
Yeah, he's one of those things that kind of went under the radar a little bit when they made that trade. It was like, oh, no, they take on this and this, they gave up that. Well, we got this guy who is hopefully, and now they're paying him as so, to fill a top six role. Again, it's one preseason game, but it's one of those things you'd like to see. It's the tenacity, it's the quick feet. It's everything this league is about right now and what it's been trending towards. It's the smaller, skilled, fast, hardworking guys that really gets things done. So again, having another string to pull at it in the top six, now all of a sudden you have two or three of those guys in your top nine with Höglander, Garland, and JT Miller plays that rough and tumble too. He might not have as much speed as the other two, but has that tenacity, and it's great to have those three kind of working in. Guys love playing with those guys that do a lot of the dirty work, digging out pucks, winning them back, turnovers, all these little things. So it's, I think he'll be a tremendous addition to this team. And again, it's one game, but it's nice to see them get off on a good footing as well. I did mention last week that it doesn't matter how they do in the preseason, but it is nice to get on a roll too. It is nice to feel like you're part of a team. Winning a game does that, producing does that, making plays does that. So it was a good first showing for them and definitely nice to see.
Bick and I were talking earlier about the power play and how it has to be better this season. And Connor Garland would definitely be considered to partake in that with the addition of Oliver Ekman-Larsson as well and Pod Colson. How do you feel they'll do this season?
Yeah, I think they should do better because the second power play unit was a black hole last year. As soon as the top five was off, nothing happened. Now they have an opportunity to roll two power play lines. OEL can run one, I'm assuming, and Hughes, granted he comes back, when he comes back can run. And you have the quarterback power play, and it gives you so many opportunities. Also, just, okay, this unit isn't going right now. Well, let's get the other one to start instead. Where last year you were forced to force feed your number one unit all the minutes because there simply weren't enough depth behind. So I think they'll do better just out of sheer of opportunities, more players to get involved. You don't have to worry about guys running for a minute 40, minute 50. Puck gets cleared out twice. We'll come off and change and get some fresh guys out there. It's also a lot harder to cover two units. You go through a lot more from a PK standpoint. Who's on the ice? What are their plays? Oh, now it's not these guys, all the things. So it's I think it's good for them that they have more opportunities. Yeah, some of the guys won't get as much ice time as they maybe like, but it's probably for the better.
With so many changes, and especially to key spots, like Connor Garland can play on the power play. Oliver Ekman-Larsson has run power plays before, and there is so much talent, you would expect Hoglander hopefully to get some more time. And with all these changes, at what point in the year do you start to look at and say, this is when they're kind of figuring it out? Or because you would expect them to need to iron out some wrinkles. How many games into the season should we start accurately judging what this power play is?
It will ebb and flow. There will be times when it's on, but then power play needs time. Again, and it's repetition. You have to make the plays. You have to know where the puck is going before it's going, all these things. But it might be on fire early, cool down, but it's more so the fact that they're familiar with each other. They know they've produced, so it'll come. There's no question about that. These guys are so skilled and talented that it'll just give them something to work with. And again, you gotta get some power play opportunities, which have been an issue as well. But again, if you give these guys enough opportunities, they will make it happen. And like I said, you can practice so much power play in practice and everything that they will get it done. It's just a matter of finding the right formation, the right guys working together, and the number one unit has been working so well for quite a while now. So I'm assuming that will just more or less stay. It's a matter of getting the second one up and running, if you will, and that might take a little bit longer. And personnel tend to fluctuate a little bit more as well.
You did mention getting more power play opportunities. I would love to get your thoughts as well, because the NHL put out this video of a bigger enforcement or a bigger emphasis on calling cross-checking. Is this something that you want to see more of? Because, you know, they were very clear of, like, you know, you can use the stick to guide guys, but you can't use it essentially as a weapon to chop down someone. Is this a good thing if they're trying to call this more?
So there's two type of cross-checkings. The one you see in front of the net that's kind of on the upper back, I have no issue with that. You're moving a guy, and it looks like you're cross-checking him. Don't get him in the neck, but you're getting him high, and he's falling forward. I have no problem with that one. The one I have an issue with is when you're coming from the side and you're catching a guy in the ribs, because that's just an injury waiting to happen. We aren't protected there. So those ones where you're targeting the soft spots in the on the side or stuff like that, yeah, get them out. Suspend the guys. But again, it's stuff you'd have to look at afterwards, or I know the refs have the opportunity to review them as well. So go after the ones where you can see, okay, this isn't just you're getting somebody out of the way in front of the net, or you're coming in with an intent.
He is Yannick Hansen. We love talking to him every Tuesday at 2 o'clock here on Sportsnet 650. You'll hear him as well at 4 o'clock on Fridays on The People Show. Yannick, thank you very much. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, you too. Take care.